Can you open God's word at
Ephesians chapter 1, please? I was just thinking of Alistair and Ali there that are going to marry next Lord's Day, next year. The prayer of the Lord undertaking. But I was reading a wee part about the woman always has the last word. And I talked about this couple was driving along in the car and the two of them had fell out. And they hadn't spoke for about 2 hours. So finally the husband said, seen two donkeys in the field. And he says to her, to chastise her, he says, is that some of your family in that field? She says, not only by marriage. So at the end of the day, the one that has the last word is always the Lord, isn't it? Just give me a wee second there, I sort these wee things out here. Above, I was talking about the tabernacle, which we're getting richly blessed by, and so we are. And I'd be touching some of these things I was telling them on Wednesday night, that I'd be coming from a different direction completely. Today, there's multitudes of people are on the move. It's already been stated in the news, in the papers, in the radio. They're moving out of their own countries to other countries. Migration at one time used to be known as for animals and birds, but not for such large scales or multitudes of people today. In the UK, or the EU in the UK, the main word is immigration. And immigration means to settle in a foreign land. Years ago, they used to pay £10 to go to Australia to immigrate. When I was thinking about and looking at the people as they travelled and left their countries with bags and cases and whatever they had very little. And I was put myself in their place. What would I do? I would do the same thing as they're doing, trying to make a life for myself. And then I began to thank the Lord for what He had done for me. It's already been said this morning. We're all saved here in this hall this morning. It's one of the greatest things ever to happen to us. And that's what we're here to give Him the thanks and give Him all the praise for what He's done for us. See, in the scriptures, the nation of Israel sojourned, it tells us, in strange lands for hundreds of years. And they were scattered all over the place. But now we know that they're in their own land at this time. Thank the Lord for that. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 7, sometimes we at home sit down and read it. There's about 50 odd verses in it. And it ends up with Stephen's martyrism. But Stephen reviews Israel. The nation was under the fallen heads. Abraham, the father of the family. as a brother spoke about this morning. Verses 2 to 8. Joseph, the saviour of the people. Verses 9 to 16. The nation in bondage in Egypt. Verses 17 to 36. Moses, the deliverer of the nation. Verses 37 to 43. And then in the promised land, with Joshua and David and Solomon, 44 to 50. And then he goes to the tabernacle in verse 44. And then he speaks of the temple in 47. But leads to the universe in 49 and 50. He's bringing in a great scope. And then he concludes with his own death. He's seen the Lord. That's all we're hoping for, isn't it?
Amen.
We see him as he is, and we'll be changed, and we'll be like him. What a saviour we have this morning. And yet the people were still disobedient to God. They rejected and they crucified their Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's no different today, brothers and sisters. The same rejection today. Nobody knows, wants to know anything about the Lord, and even when you're witnessing to them, they don't want to know. This morning, brothers and sisters, we thank God for His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour. And we thank Him for His grace and for His mercy to us. Because without that grace, we wouldn't be here. None of us. The great price that He paid. Bert was talking about in the tabernacle the mercy. And he showed that the law went right round the pyramid, right round the surrounds, represented the law. And that the door was the only place you could get in. Grace. The Lord Jesus Christ is that door. And the only way you can get in is through that door. Not any other way. Bonhoeffer says this, and I have a great mind of Bonhoeffer. Bonhoeffer was a German. And when he was hung for his belief in Christ. He says this, grace is costly. Because it cost a man his life. You think about that. Because it cost a man his life. And it gives a man the only true life. And so it does. Because we are witnesses of it this morning. And those that are washed and cleansed in the blood of the Lamb are the same. I want you to read with me in John chapter 1, please. But keep your finger in Ephesians, because the book is going to do the work for us this morning. John chapter 1. Just verses 15 to 17. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." The law gives us knowledge of the Son, but grace puts away the Son. And verse 16, grace for grace. That's God's favor to us this morning. It's heaped upon another. We're getting a double thing. It's heaped upon another. That's how gracious our God is to us this morning. In Romans chapter 1 verse 7, we find that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and to the Greek. And then Paul goes on to tell us that, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So there we're getting faith to faith, faith along with grace to grace. What a great God we have got. He's heaping all these blessings upon us. Hell deserves sinners that we are. An act of faith becomes an attitude of faith. You've heard them at the saying there, that boy's got some attitude. It's all the one way. We're saying, an attitude of faith. And so we're coming to Ephesians chapter, it's not chapter 1, it's chapter 2. Sorry, my apologies. From 1 to 3, we're seeing death to life. And from 2 to 4, we're seeing bondage to freedom. And from two to five to verse five is the tomb and the throne. And from six to ten is separation and reconciliation. I don't know where I get through this today, but wherever we go, and we can come to it again. In the Lord's will. See, from death to death, 1 to 3 and chapter 2, we have lost sinners. Now, lost sinners are not simply sick people. They need help. Not simply sick people, but needing help. But dead people need life. And that's what's the matter. Because sin, we're dead in our sin. So from 1 to 3 it says, "And you had he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, or our conditions, or our behavior in time past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." So we're dead in sin, and we've a nature in us that we need to get rid of. But we can't get rid of it. So we come to verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, and has quickened us together with Christ. Isn't that wonderful? From bondage to freedom. Lost sinners are in bondage. They're in bondage to the world, they're in bondage to the flesh, and they're in bondage to the devil. We cannot free ourselves. Only Christ our Saviour and Lord can. John 3:36 says this, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him. So, 5, even when they were dead in sin and has quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved. There's the grace coming in. There's the kindness and there's the love and there's the blessings of God this morning. We've all got it. We've all got it. So we're from the tomb to the throne. But one thing else I must say to you this morning. God did not give us life and leave us in the cemetery. No, he did not. There's a living dead. And that's those that are walking about, not saved. And there's the dead dead. That's those that are bodies is in the grave and their soul is in hell. Simple. No way round about it. That's what the scripture tells us. And then there's the living. That's those that's walking about saved by his wonderful and marvellous grace. And then there's the dead living. That's those bodies that are in the grave but are saved, but their soul is with the Lord. What a saviour, and they're marvellous. Absolutely marvellous. And that's what I was thinking about when I seen all those people, hundreds, thousands. Where did they stand with Christ this morning? And what are you and I doing about it? We're in Christ this morning. We've been raised up from the dead. And we're heirs this morning. There's another blessing. We're heirs this morning. I'm in Galatians chapter 4, if you want. Galatians chapter 4, if you want to read it with me. If you don't, I'll read it to you. Verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem that they were under the law, that might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son in your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Raised from the dead, new life, and an heir to the throne with Christ. It's amazing. This grace and this mercy and this love to us this morning, brothers and sisters. What a God we have this morning. No wonder of it all. Come with me to Luke chapter 8. Just for a wee and you all know the story well. Luke chapter 8. Verse 26. And then arrived in the country of the Galileans, which is over against Galilee. This is Gentiles. This is not Jews. And when he went forth to the land, therefore he met out of the city a certain man, which had the devils of long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice, saying, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, the Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. I thought demons tormented. Here's a demon getting tormented by the Saviour. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oft times he had caught him, and he was kept bound in chains and fetters, and he brake the bands, and was driven of the devil in the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is your name? And he said, Legion, because of many devils was entered into him. It was a time there was many devils into us, brothers and sisters, this morning, and our son. But we're cleansed. We're new creatures in Christ this morning. And they besought him that he would not command them to go in unto the deep. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them that they went out, the devils out of them, the man entered into the swine, and the herd ran violent lay down in a steep place into the lake and were choked. And when they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man, out of whom the devils had departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in the right mind, and they were afraid. And friends, they were the right to be afraid, because if you and I seen it, we'd be afraid. See, that's what's the matter today. They're not afraid. They're not afraid of this book today. They're not afraid of the witness we give today. They were afraid. The man was saved and he was worshipping the Lord. That's our business today. Number one, worship. And then his word. They also saw, which saw it, told by the means he liked was, say it again, they also which saw it told them by the what means he that was possessed of the devil was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of Galileans ran round about, besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thy own house and show how great things God has done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done for him. Where do we stand this morning? I'm asking you, each and every one, to recollect, since the day you said, what have we done? If the Lord met, you met the Lord this morning, if we met the Lord this morning, what could we say? Could you say, well done and faithful servant? Well, I've been getting a talk to you last week. This word is supposed to convince us and convict us. It's not a game. We're not playing churchy. God was saved to serve. God's looking at us to do things. The man got the devil out of him and he went to the, into the city and he confessed and witnessed for them. I have a wee note here, I've got put down here, that's what it says, a wee comment. If in the presence of Christ there's no faith, we must fear. If you were in the presence of Christ, you'd have to fear. And you have no faith. We either want to be with him, or want to be as far away as we can. Which is it? And I'm listening to the recording here as well. Where do you stand this morning? Which is it? Do you want him? Are you rejecting him this morning? Because you see this man here, what a picture he is of a sinner. We were in the same place, brothers and sisters. We drank and we done all the things. Our brother's already said it this morning. We've got the t-shirt for it. This is a man. This man was a sinner. And now he's saved. You and I were sinners. Now we're saved. What a revelation we've seen this morning of our Saviour. And what a change the Lord Jesus can make to a man and a woman, a boy and a girl. All brothers and sisters, we're failing. Separation and reconciliation. Verse 6 of Ephesians chapter 2. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places, that in the ages to come he might show his exceedingly riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace you are saved through faith, is not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works. Should any man boast? Nothing to boast about. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Here's a wee quote. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus unto good works, in which we walk. I want to come back to that. Verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye be in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcised, the flesh made with hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of the promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. When I was reading that, I was thinking them fellows with the wee bags and the wee boxes with nothing. I was an alien to our God, and yet he loved me. verse 14, for he is our peace, who hath made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition. Brothers and sisters, the Gentile had nothing of the Jewish nation. The Gentile, they had no relationship at all to Christ. They had no part in God's purpose with Israel. They were excluded from the covenant like God made with Abraham and David. They were without hope. They were worshipping idols and other gods. They were without God in a sphere in which they lived. No time for God. No time for Christ. Has it changed? See, the Jew and the Gentile, there's no difference morally. No. Both were dead in sin. The Gentile was far off, without privileges. The Jew was highly privileged. Oh, he was. Paul could tell us, like, you know, what he was. Similarly, there was a difference because between them there was a middle wall, a partition of enmity. Dead to sin, the old sin nature is still in the body. For the Jew and for you and me, still there. Although we're washed and cleansed in the blood of the Lamb. The two have nothing in common in our bodies. Remember what a woman saying, the day you get saved, the day you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, the day you get saved, the first thing, the sin that you used to commit when you're tempted, I died to that. You don't go on to do what you've done before. You say, I died to that. I was dead to that. Brothers and sisters, what a Saviour we have here this morning. Verse 16, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you where afar off, and to them at nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God, and are built upon a foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building is fitly framed together, growth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. What blessing, brothers and sisters, we have got this morning. But I want to come back to verse 10 for a reason. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had been before ordained that we should walk in them. I'm going to give you a quote. I'm going to give you a quote for a very famous person. He's long gone. And I was touched when I read this. And this is what's said. People are often unreasonable illogical and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you're kind, people may accuse you of being selfish or have ulterior motives. Be kind to them anyway. If you're successful, you will win some foes and some enemies. Succeed anyway. What you spend years building, someone could destroy it overnight. Build anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, they may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good that you do today, people will often forget tomorrow. Do good anyway, it says. Give the world your best you have. It may not be enough. Give your best anyway. You see, in the final analysis, it's between you and God. It was never between anybody else. No, it's between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. Wasn't that a great phrase, brothers and sisters? You know who that quote is? That quote is from Mother Teresa. Now, I don't know where Mother Teresa stands. But I do. I can honestly say this. I can say it. I honestly hope she's a saint by the blood of Jesus Christ. I do hope she's saved and sanctified and justified and washed, and not by a man's hand. For it's by grace we are saved. It's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. But I know that woman done great things. I only wish that I had done a couple of them. What do you think? See, John could say, the Baptist could say about the Lord, he wasn't fit enough to lace the latchet of his shoes. I wasn't fit enough to lace that woman's shoes. What am I doing for the Lord? What are you doing? Here's another quote. The little or much we have is never for ourselves alone. It is to be shared if we love. It's to be shared. If we live for ourselves, we may have much, but this will only impoverish us. Now, listen to this. It is the givers who are rich. For in their giving, they invite God's blessing, and they experience fellowship. I think that's great. With those among whom God has chosen to present himself, the poor. When God gives you a blessing, it is so that blessing might be a blessing to others. Not for your own gains or anything like that. It might be a blessing to others. See, God's blessings are not luxuries. They are opportunities. And that's where Mother Teresa got it. There were opportunities they could get to the poor. And there's a lot of poor in the world today. There's a lot of witnesses to be done today for Christ. The blessings we've got is for opportunities for us to use them in the days that lie ahead. I might just have time for it. I want you to come with me to Matthew 10 anyway, and we'll take it from, I'll go by the time. Matthew 10, chapter 24. And this is the Lord speaking, the disciples. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord, if they are called the master of the house of Beelzebub, and much more shall they call them of the household. Remember, they called the Lord Beelzebub. Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in the darkness, that speak ye in the light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Oh, they've got a right to fear, brothers and sisters. We've got a right to fear. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father? But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Some can number them, some can't. But the Lord knows. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever deny me before men will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I have come not to send peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man at variance against his father and his daughter, against his mother and his daughter-in-law, against her mother and against her mother-in-law. A man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth the father or the mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth the son or the daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. And he that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever give to drink one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Five things before I'm finished. fear me. Confess me. Love me. Die for me. And receive me. Five things. And I'm not five in number, it's grace. We're getting told something, brothers and sisters, through his word this morning. I don't know about you, but I've been wrestling with this all week. And God's telling me something. What is he telling you? See, God will not look you over for your medals. He'll not look you over for your degrees. And he'll not look you over for your diplomas. What will he look over for you? Your scars. Your scars. God gave his son, we were singing this morning, saved him his head, his hands, and his feet, and his side, the scars. What suffering have we been enduring? Where are we getting the rebukes and trials? Where are the scars have we got for battle? Have we got scars? Paul could say, I died daily. Brothers and sisters, we have a great God this morning. And this is the word I've got. You have to do what you have to do with it. You can say it's a good meeting and it's a good sermon. But it's what you do with it when you go out that door. And it's what I do with it. When I go out that door. He saved us to serve him. Let us serve him. You know, I was looking there this morning when we're talking about the times, the things that we've done. And I was looking at this hymn, and we sing it sometimes in the back there all the time. Before a prayer meeting, or maybe even here in the chorus singing. And I would like to finish after this hymn this morning. It's 94 in the Red Chorus book. And give thanks to the Lord for what you said and done this morning. And maybe Sam would come out and meet him to the Lord in prayer. Number 94, and we'll stand to sing.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day, day I will never forget. After I wandered in darkness away, Jesus my Savior I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend, He met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling with joy I am telling, He made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Born of the Spirit with light from above, into God's family divine. Justified truly through Calvary's love, oh, what a standing is mine. and the transaction so quickly was made, when as a sinner I came, to call the offer of grace he did proffer, he saved me, oh praise his dear name. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul, when at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Father, for Thy word this morning. Thy word is truth. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, that Thou hast brought us from death unto life. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, that as Samuel said to Saul all those years ago, behold, obedience is better than sacrifice. And we pray, Heavenly Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ, and the strength of the Lord, power of His might, to be able to go into this week, to walk in the Spirit, and not to fill the lust of our flesh, to set our affections on things above, and not on things of this earth, to seek first the kingdom of God and Thy righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto us.
Amen.
We ask, Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you.